Good morning. Today's daf in Rosh Hashanah's daf hey. We are in Dalam and Beis. We are starting right at the bottom of the Amud, and we are in the middle of a discussion. The Gemara now is in the middle of discussing the Isser and the Torah of Baal Te'achar. We're making Neder, Nedava, or other forms of commitments, financial commitments, so you cannot delay. In other words, you are bounded by redeeming your pledge by a certain point in time. And that certain point of time is going to be the focus of our discussion over the course of today's daf. Half of yesterday dedicated to this topic, and we continue with that discussion today. How did we get here? Well, why are we discussing this in Rosh Hashanah? So the answer to that is very simple. The first Mishnah in the Masechta taught us that there are four Rosh Hashanahs over the course of the year, and on the first day of Nisan, so that's Rosh Hashanah. For what? For two things. For Malachim Regalim, for both kings and for Yontif. So as far as kings are concerned, so we spent the first two and a half dafim discussing that issue. Daf Beis Gimel and half of Dalet discuss what's the significance of making sure that we know which year of the king it is, or which year of his rule it is. And that, of course, is for the dating of documents, in order to make sure that we know that the documents are properly dated and we have clear communication between lender and borrower exactly when the loan originated. And that's important because we know post-dated and pre-dated documents are bad, different degrees of bad. But that's the first topic of the first significance of Nisan. And the other one is Regalim, that when it comes to the first day of Nisan, so that's significant as far as Regal is concerned. What does that mean? So what it means is that our Mishnah subscribes to the Shita Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that in terms of violating the Isser Baal Te'acher, so one has to traverse three Yontifs. And three yontifs in succession, and Pesach being the first of the three. So if you make a neder, now you pass over Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkah, specifically in that order, so then you're going to be in violation of Baal Te'achar. That's the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Yesterday, we learned that it was not just Rabbi Shimon Shita alone, but there are four other opinions on this matter, in terms of when one is violating the Isser of Baal Te'achar. And so in just a moment, we're going to quickly run through the five different opinions. But let's just take a step back. Should have done this yesterday, but not too late, as the entirety of today's daf is going to be discussing the Isser Baal Te'achar. And we're in Parshas Kiseitse, Perichav Gimel, Pasuk Chav Beis, 23:22. So the Torah goes on to describe that when you make a neder towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo se'achir l'shamo, so don't delay it. Ki darosh yidrashenu Hashem lokecha mi'imach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands it from you. V'ayah b'chachet. And if you delay it, so that's a sin. But if you don't prevent yourself from bringing an edra, so then you're going to have a chay. So and then the Torah then goes on to describe Motzis Fasecha Tishbor Vasisa Kasher Nadat Al Shem Lokecha Nidava Shedi Barak Beficha. Okay, and you make a pledge, you got to keep it. Okay, loose translation of that last pasuk. But anyway, the Torah over here outlines that there's an isser, a lav in the Torah of Baal Te'achar, as I pointed out yesterday. It's a lav shein b'maisa, meaning how do you violate the lav? And that's by doing nothing, meaning by sitting there and ignoring the pledge that you made, so you're going to be violating the lav. Good, so that's the pasuk in the Torah. So, but the Torah over there in Parshas Kiseitse doesn't tell us when you violate Baal Te'achar. So now, in terms of the when you're violating Baal Te'achar, so that's our Gemara. Our Gemara now is discussing when exactly one is violating Baal Te'achar. So going back to yesterday's daf, there are no less than, well, I don't know if there's more, but there are five opinions on this matter in terms of when exactly one's violating Baal Te'achar. And quickly to run through the five positions. Okay, and yes, it's important in general just to review, but for today's daf, it becomes significant in terms of remembering and reminding each other what exactly are the five opinions. So number one, we'll call it the Shitas Chachamim, right? It was presented to us yesterday over the course of two brises, but it's the same Tanakam of the two brises. One is going to be in violation of Baal Te'achar when they cross over Gimel Regalim. So, and it doesn't matter according to the Chachamim, it doesn't matter sequence. In other words, as long as you, from the point that you made your neder, you passed over three yontifs, whatever three yontifs they may be, so one's in violation of Baal Te'achar. Then there's a Shita Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, no, one's violating Baal Te'achar when you have the three regalim, but in order, and Pesach being number one. So that means, and the Brice has spelled this out, that according to Rabbi Shimon, there could be an occasion where you make a neder, let's give an example, it's immediately after Pesach, and now, in order for you to be in violation of Baal Te'achar, you have to cross over five yontifs. That would be Shavuos Sukkos, and then the next year's Pesach Shavuos Sukkos. and then and only then are you going to be in violation of Bal Teachim. Okay, that's Shita's Rabbi Shimon. The Shita Rabbi Meir is that it's one yantiv and that's it. And the Shita Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is that it's two yantivs. And finally, the Shita of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, interestingly arguing with his father. So Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon says that it's all going to be contingent on Sukkos. Meaning it doesn't matter when you make the Nedra and how many other yantivs you pass by, Sukkos. Once Sukkos comes, Sukkos is the end of the season, if you will, and that's going to be the violation of Bal Teachim. Good. So those are the five different opinions in terms of when one is violating Bal Teachim. In yesterday's daf on Dalmud Beis, so what we did is we covered where each of the Tanaim derived the source of from. And so we're not going to review right now, but that is a quick summary of basically from the beginning of the Masechta until the point that we are right now. Shmina, so good. So Shmina Atzeres is still part of Sukkot, vis-a-vis this Isra Bal Teachim.
The last day of the
Yom Tov. Presumably. Okay. In terms of the Gemara's classic discussion of if you're Tana, what do you do with the other Tanaim's Psukim? So the Gemara, we left off yesterday. Let's start from here. In other words, we did this yesterday, but we ran through it. Let's start from here. So we're going to start now in the Gemara and Dalman Beis, and we're going to go back about a dozen lines, and we're going to even a little bit more. And Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Hai b'chag Matzos v'chag Shavuos v'chag Sukkos my Dar Shebe. So Tanaim who say that it's contingent on three yantivs, it's because they looked at Parshas Re'eh. In Parshas Re'eh, the Torah is a little repetitive regarding the three Yamim Tovim. And so for a group of Tanaim, notably the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon, who says that everything is three Yamim Tovim, so for them, they learn it from Parshas Re'eh. Okay, but what if you're not the Chachamim, and what if you're not Rabbi Shimon? Let's say, for example, you are Rabbi Meir, or let's say, for example, you're Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So what do you do with those Psukim in Parshas Re'eh? So mi ba'ilu lichad Rabbi Elazar, I'm Rabbi Yoshia. So the Gemara says for that, so they learned another halacha, and notably, the halach of Rabbi Elazar, in the name of Rabbi Yoshia, Dam Rabbi Elazar, Am Rabbi Yoshia, Minayin Latzer Sheishla, Tashlumim Kol Shiva. So it's for the halach of Tashlumim. Now, the halach of Tashlumim is that we know that every yantav that rolls around, you have to be in the Beis HaMikdash, you have to bring karbanos. In Karban Chagiga, we're going to be discussing this in more detail. Three karbanos you have to bring in total. The Shami Chagiga, the Olas Riyah, and Shami Simcha. So now, the principal time to bring the carbon is on the first day of Yontif. What if you don't bring it on the first day of Yontif? You have makeup days. So now, Tam Lomer bechagamatzos vechagashvus vechagasukos. Mekish chagashvus vechagamatzos umachagamatzos. Yeshul tashlumim kol shiva. Av chagashvus yeshul tashlumim kol shiva. So now, by virtue of the fact that in Parshas Re'eh, the Torah groups together these three Yamim Tovim, so there, what is it coming to teach us? That just like on Pesach, there are, after the first day, there's an additional 6 days where one can make up, meaning a total 7 days of opportunity to bring your Chagiga Re'iyah. So too, on Shavuos, even though there's nothing that follows up the first day of Yontif, meaning Shavuos is just 1 day of Yontif, nevertheless, you're still going to have a total of 7 days of opportunity to bring carbon. Good. So that's what we learn out from the grouping. Good, and that's what we pointed out yesterday, that it's a halacha in Tashlumim. V'leikish lechag asukos, malahalon shmona avchad shmona. So the Gemara over here says, look, you have these three Yamim Tovim grouped together, and you're telling me that it's a halacha in Tashlumim in terms of the number of makeup days. So the Gemara says, I got this great idea. Instead of saying there are 7 makeup days for Shavuos, why not say there are 8 days altogether? Why? Because in the grouping, you also have Sukkos. And Sukkos, we know we have 8 days of Sukkos. So the Gemara says, Shmini regel b'fnei atzmahu. So the Gemara says, well, the Gemara tries to sidestep the question. Well, you know, the 8th day, Shmini Atzeres, that's not really Sukkos. Meaning, that's an independent day. So the Gemara says, no, it's not. So, Eim adamrin shmini regel b'fnei atzmahu le'inyan pazar kashav. Aval le'inyan tashlumim, divrei hakol, tashlumim derishon hu. Yeah, it's an independent day in six respects. Six aspects. It's got elements of independence. But as far as what it is, especially as far as Tashlumim is concerned, it's still part of Sukkos. So if you fail to bring your Karban Chagiga and your Olas Re'iyah on the first day of Sukkos, So you have not only the remaining 7 days of Sukkot, or the remaining 6 days of Sukkot, but you also have Shemini Atzeres as well. And the Gemara says, and that's universal. Everyone subscribes to that. Did not, as we are now in the very bottom lines of the Amud, Mishalochag Yom Tov Rishon Shochag Chol Geges Kol Aregel V'Yom Tov Achron Shochag. Okay, so it's a Beferish Mishnah. No one argues with this Mishnah. We saw it back in Beitza. So so you have 8 days. So now let's reset the question. So now it comes out that we have a grouping of Shavuos together with Sukkot and Pesach. We're learning the halach of Tashlomim. We want to know that for Shavuos now you do have Tashlomim. How many days of Tashlomim? So I got two options. I can either go with the 7 days of Pesach, or I can go with the 8 days of Sukkot. So why am I going with the 7 days of Pesach? Why not go with the 8 days of Sukkot? So this is where we ended off yesterday in yesterday's daf. Tafasta meruba. Lo tafasta, tafasta mua, tafasta. So the Gemara says, given the opportunity of which one to elect, which one to choose, so choose a smaller. Why? Because when you choose a small amount, so you're more confident in that which you've chosen. You chose a larger one. Who knows? It may not be correct. Okay, good. So the, so that's what we learned from the groupings. We learned the halach of Tashlumim. And there are 7 days of Tashlumim for Shavuos, seven as opposed to eight, because even though Sukkot has eight days altogether, but again, based on the principle of Tafasta, we're going to go with the 7 days, not the 8 days. Good. This all takes us to basically where we got off yesterday. Okay, just a couple of things that I do want to quickly review, and then we'll go on from there. So we say the Shemini Atzeres is really the 8th day of Sukkot. The Torah says it's the 8th day of Sukkot. But it's got some independent elements to it, six altogether. So Pazar Kashav. So let's just do this quickly. It's good Chazar. We did this really not so long ago, but we get to do it again. So look at the Rashi in terms of Pazar Kashav. So we start off with pay. Pay is pious. So in terms of a lottery. So Lapar Haba Bishmini, I'm reading Rashi. Lapar Ba Bishmini Vino Krav Lafi Seder Hamishmar Shoshanu Vishoshu Beparichal Chutz Mishtaim Shoshanu Velo Shoshu Par Shoshmini Ein Achas Meosum Shaim Makrivoso El Kol Hamishmar Mafisin Vit Mafisin. Okay, so number one in terms of a lottery. So this not I don't want to get too far into this, but if you recall, we did this in the fifth parak of Sukkah. So on Sukkot, so all the Kohanim would be there and serving in the base of Mikdash, and you had a lot of carbonas to offer, 70 bulls in total, aside from all the Elim and the Kvasim. And so in terms of establishing who's gonna bring it, so it was done on a lottery. And again, now just to make a long story a little bit shorter, so it comes out that most of the Mishmaros are going to be taking three rotations in terms of the Karbanos. Some of the Mishmaros are going to, two of them are only going to do two rotations. Good. Now we get to Shemini Atzeres. So what do? We reset the lottery. I mean, despite the fact that two of the groups did not get a three round rotation of Karbanos, nevertheless, for Shemini Atzeres, we're going to reset the lottery. Good. That's pay. That's pious. Zman v'rego. Latzman she'ein shem chag asukas alav. So as far as regal b'fnei atzma, as far as zman is concerned, so Rashi just assumes that we know that means shachianu. As far as regal b'fnei atzma means that it's given a new name. So that means that we make reference to the name specifically in our davening. So we don't give it the name of Sukkot, we give it a new name, Shmini Chag Atzeres or whatever your nusach may be. Karban latzmo. Rashi goes on. Shein karbano kashar yimei chag shapar mitzmatim behem echad echad v'zeinu ela parachad. Now, as far as carbon is concerned, so the sequencing of the carbons now change. When it comes to Sukkah, so when it comes to Parim, so you start on day one with 13, and you go down a par every day to when the seventh day you bring seven Parim. And as far as Elim, it's two a day. As far as Kvasim, it's 14 a day. But when you get to Shemini Atzeres, so now the numbers are just all of a sudden totally changed. It's parichad, ayilachad, seven kvasim. Okay, so that's carbon. Shir latzmo, ain't shir shavel shal sukkah, shomer al aduchim velo nisparish lanu, shir of mesechet sofer, ninsa shir ohil amseach al ashminis. So it's a different shir that we sing on Shemini Atzeres. Rashi back in Sukkah also admitted, not totally sure what the new shir is. Rashi over here in Rosh Hashanah quotes the Masechet Sofrim, giving a suggestion in terms of what it is. Anyway, and finally, Bracha. Bracha says, Rashi, what does that mean? Latzmo. Now, it can't be a reference to Shachianu because that's already Zman. So what's Bracha? So Rashi writes, Mevarchin hayu es ha-melech Zech lechanukah zabai shenem Rabbi Yom Hashmini shalach hasam veyivarchu esamelach kach mafurish betosefta disukah. So that is that we give a bracha to the king, right? We're all together assembled in the Beis HaMikdash. The king is there. So it is an auspicious moment to give a bracha to the king. It happens to be, says Rashi, that that is historically precedented. So we gave a bracha to the king by Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech inaugurated the first Beis HaMikdash, and it happened to be that the inauguration, it was a 2-week inauguration, right? For every Beis HaMikdash, you had a week, right? The Mishkan was 1 week, right? 1 week inauguration, and then Yom HaShmini, and that was the Mishkan in the Midbar. For the first Beis HaMikdash, it was a 2-week inauguration. I believe, I don't remember the source, but for the second Beis HaMikdash, it was a 3-week inauguration. Okay. That part I'm not sure about. So that one I'd like to reserve the right to be wrong about that. Okay. Anyway, but for Shlomo HaMelech, though, the 2-week inauguration ended on Shmini Atzeres. Okay. And that, right, it's a great parallel, meaning in the Midbar, in the Mishkan, it was Uva Yom HaShmini. In other words, that eighth day was the end of the inauguration, the beginning of the actual operation of the base of the Mishkan. And for the first Beis HaMikdash, so it ended with Sukkos and, right, on the eighth day, meaning there was also Yom HaShmini. Okay, anyway. So that is just in short order, not so short, but in short order, that's just a review of the Pazar Kashav, the six aspects, the six elements in which Shmini Atzeres has identities of independence. But meanwhile, when all said and done, it is the eighth day of Sukkos. Okay, and it's baked into the bread, meaning it's called Shmini Atzeres. Okay, good. The other thing that I just want to highlight before we go on to today's daf, and that is that the Gemara says, you know, we had a choice of Tashlumim, whether we should compare it to Sukkos, whether we should compare it to Pesach. We'll compare it to Pesach. Why? It's a smaller number. And it's predicated on the principle of Tafasta Meruba. So Tosfos over here points out, not all Tafastas are the same, right? Tafasta Meruba, you're going to hear a lot throughout the Gemara. Back in Sukkah, we heard it a number of times. Here in Rosh Hashanah now, right early in the Masechta, we're hearing Tafasta Meruba. And if I have a choice, I'm going to go with the smaller number. So Tosfos says the classic example of Tafasta Meruba is where the Torah gives a plural, and then from there, what we're supposed to do is figure out, well, what number is it? So Tosfos says that's the classic Tafasta. Why? Because if I go with any number higher than 2, so then what are my possibilities? Infinite. It's an infinite number of possibilities. So Tafasta Meruba lo Tafasta classically means is that when I have a choice of choosing either the first number or any subsequent number after that, so literally lo tafasta. Well, you can't hold on to an infinite number. So therefore, I'm going to go with my first digit, my first number after number 1. Good. That Tosha says that's classic tafasta. But over here, it's not exactly the same. Over here, I have a choice. In other words, I want to know tashlumim for shvuos. I have 2 options to go with. I have 7 or I have 8. It's not, the question over here is not between something which is finite versus infinite. Over here, there are 2 finite numbers. It's 7 or 8. So Tosfos just comments that this is a slightly different variation of the normal discussion of Tafasta Meruba lo Tafasta. Okay. And that you'll see in the bottom Tosfos over here. Okay. We are now continuing. Ela lamai hilchasa kasver rechman lachaga sukos. Okay. So as far as now as far as the grouping that occurs in Parshas Re'eh, so then why is it bundled together with Chag HaSukkos? Meaning, we now know that the halacha of Tashlumin for Shavuos is going to be predicated on the fact that it's grouped together with Chag HaPesach. Great! But what is Sukkos introducing to us over there? Meaning, why is Sukkos necessary in terms of the bundling? So, La Kushala Chag HaMatzos, Ma Chag HaMatzos Sh'taon Lina, Av Chag HaSukkos Taon Lina. So the Gemara says it's coming to teach us a different halacha, notably the halacha of Lina. Okay, now, Lina comes in 2 totally different contexts. So normally we're used to hearing Lina as far as a karban and its disqualification. If, let's say, for example, the blood was not sprinkled by the end of the day of a karban, so now the karban is nifsal, it's disqualified through the psul of Lina. Okay, that's one context. That's not what we're talking about at all. This is a totally different context of Lina, and it's really describing the mitzvah to stay overnight. Meaning, we have a mitzvah to be in the Beis HaMikdash on Yontif. For all 7 days of Yontif, for all 8 days of Sukkot, not necessarily. But there is a minimum stay requirement in the Beis HaMikdash of the night after the day. which means to say that, let's say you're there for the first day of Yontif, so now you must stay the following night. And that's a mitzvah of Lina. So, so how do I know that by Sukkot there's a mitzvah of Lina? So dichsiv the pasuk says ufani seba book of alacha lo alacha. Okay, so so we have a pasuk, a beferish pasuk that says that you have to stay overnight, which means to say that you're there for the first day of Yantiv, so you can't go home once Yantiv, right? You have to stay in Yerushalayim the night subsequent, and your first opportunity to go home now is going to be the first day of Chol Hamoed. Okay, that's a mitzvah of Lina. And not only is that a mitzvah for Pesach, there's also a mitzvah of Lina for Sukkot. Presumably, I think Gemara doesn't make this point super clear, presumably also for Shavuos as well, there's going to be a mitzvah of Lina as well. Okay. V'tanakam of Rabbi Shimon, Tashlum la'atzeres minalahu. So the Gemara says, good. So now we've just spent the first part of today's daf discussing the mitzvah of Tashlumim. And now the Gemara says, great. So if you are the Tanaim of, let's see how well I know the daf. If you are the Tanaim of Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, and so you have the Psukim and Parshas Rei available for the halach of Tashlumim. Because again, they don't need it for Baal Te'acher. So you have available for Tashlumim. Great. But if, let's say, you are the Tanaim of the Chachamim, the Tanakama, and Rabbi Shimon, you need those psukim and Parshas Rei to teach me the halachas of Baal Te'acher. You no longer have them available. So how do you know about Tashlumim? Good, that's a Gemara's question. So v'tanakam of Rabbi Shimon, Tashlumim la'atzeres minalahu. So where do they learn it from? So nafka luhu mitatani Rabbi Bar Shmuel, didni Rabbi Bar Shmuel. Amra Torah mene yamin v'kadish chodesh, mene yamin v'kadish atzeres. Okay, so the Gemara says like this. They're going to learn Tashlumim from a different source, notably the following. We know that what we do is that by month, so what's the unit of measurement for month? Meaning, how do we count towards a month? So we count days. So days become the unit of measurement. So, Mane Yamim, count days, V'Kiddush Chodesh. And what we're going to do now is we're going to sanctify the month. And sanctification of the month will come in the form of how many days? One day. Okay. We're well aware of the fact that every other Rosh Chodesh, it's not one day of Rosh Chodesh, it's 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. But that's neither here nor there. That's a totally separate issue in terms of why, on occasion, we observe 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. Okay, but in terms of the actual Rosh Chodesh itself, it's a one-day event. We all know this. So now, Mani Yamin V'Kiddush Chodesh, Mani Yamin V'Kiddush Atzeres. Now, as far as Shavuos is concerned, so we do the same thing. In other words, we count towards Shavuos, and what's the unit of measurement that we count? So we also count towards Shavuos. Machodesh Limnu Yav, Afat Seres Limnu Yav. So now what's the unit of measurement that we count? So when it comes to Rosh Chodesh, the unit of measurement is a daily unit, meaning we count days, right? It's the first day of the month, second day of the month. So the unit of measurement is 1 day. So therefore, the day in which we're going to be Mekadosh, i.e. Rosh Chodesh, that's going to be a 1 day event. So when it comes to Shavuos, so how do we count our Shavuos? Actually, there are 2 units of measurements that we use in terms of counting to Shavuos. They're both going to get us there, but the unit of measurement is going to be, one is a daily unit, meaning we count the days, and we also count the weeks as well. So now, in terms of being Mekadesh Shavuos, so now what are we going to do when we get to Shavuos and we're Mekadesh it? So we're Mekadesh a day and we're Mekadesh a week. Well, that's confusing, meaning Shavuos is just but 1 day. So what does that mean? We're counting a day and we're counting a week. So this is exactly the point we want to get to, which is then we get to Shavuos. So even though the Yontif itself is a day, but it still has an element of a week to it. What does that mean? Tashlumim. Meaning that despite the fact that the observed day of Shavuos is only 1 day, but still there is a week-like quality to Shavuos in that you have all 7 days of Tashlumim. Okay, Ema, Atzeres Chag Yuma, I kind of gave away the Gemara's punchline, right? The Gemara is going to catch up to where we are. So the Gemara says, so why don't I just simply say that since we're counting daily Torah Shavuos, so therefore Shavuos should just be 1 day and that's it. So Amarava atu atzeres yume manina shavu lo maninan. So the Gemara says, but wait 1 second. When it comes to Shavuos, we don't just count days. We count days and we count weeks as well. Va'amar mitzvah lemimne yume mitzvah lemimne shavua. It's, there are 2 mitzvahs. Now, in a moment, I'm going to come back and I'm going to clarify what I just said. But there are two mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah to count days and there's a mitzvah to count weeks as well. And so as a result of that, so when we talk about the Yontif of Shavuos, so when we are establishing how long Shavuos should be, so it's a function of the unit of measurement that we use to count it. Since we count both days and weeks when we get to Shavuos, so therefore Shavuos is going to be a 1 day event, but it's also going to be a 1 week event as well. And again, the 1 week event is vis-a-vis Tashlumim. The Ode, and furthermore, additionally, the Gemara says Chag HaShavuos Ksiv. And on top of that also, you know how we refer to the Yontif? We call it Chag HaShavuos, right? The Yontif of week. I know, weeks. But still, in other words, it's kind of built into the name of Shavuos that the Yontif itself is going to be a week. Okay, so I know all this gets a little bit confusing, but the point is that if you're not learning Tashlumim from the bundling in Parshas Re'eh, so how do I know about Tashlumim? So the Gemara says there's another avenue to take, and that is the avenue of using the units of measurements in establishing how long a Yontif is going to be. So when it comes to Rosh Chodesh, the unit measurement is a daily unit. So therefore, Rosh Chodesh is going to be 1 day. For Shavuos, the unit of measurement towards counting towards Shavuos is going to be both a daily unit and a weekly unit. So Shavuos now becomes a bit of a hybrid. Shavuos now is going to have an aspect of being Kaddish for 1 day. It's called Yontif. At the same time, however, it's also going to be Shavuos for a week. Shavuos for a week? What do you mean? There's no Chol HaMoed. Correct. But vis-a-vis Tashlumim, you have the whole week to bring the Karban Chagiga and the Olas Riyah. Okay. And Rosh Hashanah should be a month long. We're counting months towards Rosh Hashanah? Maybe. Okay. Anyway, all right. I'll think more about that. The Rambam writes just a basic point. It's not simple, but it is basic. The Rambam writes that the counting Torah Shavuos is one mitzvah. It's not two mitzvahs. You know, the Rambam counts the mitzvahs, right? We're all familiar, right? He puts it together in a work called Sefer HaMitzvahs. Good. So the Rambam counts the mitzvahs. The Rambam says the counting Torah Shavuos is one mitzvah. The Gemara just simply says that it's two mitzvahs. The Rambam says, no, it's not two mitzvahs. There are two elements, there are two aspects to the mitzvah, meaning that when you count Torah Shavuos, you count days, you count weeks, but the Rambam says, but really in truth, it's one mitzvah. As you can imagine, not all of Rishonim are in agreement with the Rambam. A number of Rishonim say that there actually are two separate mitzvahs. And then, there are plenty of Torah to go about in terms of what is the nature of this double count, of counting Torah Shavuos by days, counting by weeks. Okay, good. And again, this is a daf right now, so we're gonna bypass all that. But just to be aware of the most basic point, which is that the Rambam counts it as one mitzvah. It's just two aspects to the one particular mitzvah. Okay, this is a good moment to pause just for a second, gather ourselves. So what we've been doing now is, you know, I promised all day we're gonna be talking about Baal Te'acher, and the funny part is that so far halfway through the daf we haven't said a word about Baal Te'acher. And the reason why is because the Gemara has kind of been dealing with tangents, meaning that if you're learning Baal Te'acher from Parshas Re'eh, great. And if you're not learning it from Parshas Re'eh, where are you learning it from? And if you're learning it from somewhere else, what do you do with those psukim in Parshas Re'eh? So the Gemara now has been, for the first half of today's daf, been working on that on those tangents. And so, quite frankly, we've been spending most of our day today discussing the idea of Tashlumim. Okay, but now we're done with Tashlumim. We're done with discussing Tashlumim. As a quick summary, you can make up your Karban Chagiga and Olas Riyah on Shavuos, and you don't have just the day of Yontif itself to bring. You have 7 days in total as an opportunity to bring those Karbanos, and it's going to be based on either one of two possibilities, and at this point in time, I'm not going to go over it again, but there are a number of ways to arrive at that conclusion. That's what we've been discussing up until now. All this really began on the bottom of the Alamed Aleph, yesterday's daf, where the Gemara says that, you know, there's this Isser Baal Te'acher. And the Gemara says that this Isser Baal Te'acher will include any commitment you make. Now, if you look at the very bottom of Dala Amad Aleph, Chayve Hadamim, Ha'arachim, Ha'charamim, Vahayek Deishos, Chatos, Vashamos, Olos, Ushlamim, Stakos, Umaisos, Bechor, Umaiser, Upesach. So any commitment you make is going to be subject to Baal Te'acher. Including that list is Pesach. Now, you saw me yesterday, as I read that word, I struggled. What does that mean? There's Baal Te'acher by Karban Pesach. That's really strange. Meaning, what are you supposed to do once you set up your Karban Pesach? You bring it on the 14th day of Nisan. Okay? It's not something where like, oh, you know what I mean? On my time, I'll bring my Karm Pesach. Huh? The Gemara is going to give up shop, but I'm setting us up right now for the question. What is it? What does that mean? That the Karm Pesach there's no Bal Te'achar by Pesach. You bring in the 14th day of Nisan. If you don't bring in the 14th day of Nisan, that's it. Okay. We all know this Pesach Sheni, but you understand. It's not like the other Karbanos. What is it doing there in that list? That's the Gemara's question. So, Pesach Bar Mikrav Berigalim Hu, Pesach Zimna Kviyalei. Okay, so the Gemara asked the question over here really succinctly. And Iakrave Akrave Vilakrave Itchilei. So, here are your options with Karm Pesach. Either you offer it on the 14th, or you don't. And the subject of Bal Te'achar, like what's going on over here? So Amar Rav Chista Pesach Kedei Naspa. So the Gemara is going to give two answers. Answer number one of Rav Chista is Kedei Naspa. Okay, you know what? Karm Pesach doesn't belong there in the list, but sometimes things come along for the ride. Okay, there's a certain pattern that's set in terms of saying over Mishnayos and Braisos, and sometimes you just get into a particular habit and you say things in Kedei Naspa. It came along, doesn't really belong there. Good. That's one possibility. The other possibility of Sheshes Amar my Pesach Shame Pesach. So the Gemara says, well, another possibility is maybe when we say Pesach, we mean Shame Pesach. What is that a reference to? Rashi over here, the very last Rashi of our Amud. So he writes Bishalokrav Bizmano Shavad Mizkaper Ba'acher Hu Naaseh Shlamim. So we're talking over here about how Karm Pesach converts into a Karm Shlamim. So for whatever reason, the Karm Pesach is not offered on the 14th day of Nisan, so the Karm doesn't become disqualified, it just simply converts into a Karm Shlamim. We spent together a lot of time going over, does that require a positive reassignment? Does it happen automatically? Okay, good. But meanwhile, that's what the Bryce is discussing. So the Gemara says, okay, good, Shalmei Pesach. You know what? I have another word to describe that. It's called the Shlamim. So the Gemara says, So if you're telling me that the Pesach is a reference to a Pesach that converts into a Shlamim, so we have terms to describe that, and that was listed already in the Braisa. So Hachianu Shlamim, so Tana Shlamim Habay Machmas, the Pesach for Tana Shlamim Habay Machmas Atzman. So the Gemara says, okay, I know, but there are, so the Braisa wants to mention both, and I need both. Salkadat Chamina, I might have thought, ho Machmas Pesach Kasu. So look, it comes as a result of the Karm Pesach. So ke Pesach damu, and so therefore I might have thought that it should take on the identity of the Karm Pesach. Now, what is the identity of Karm Pesach? So Rashi writes over here, top Rashi in the Amud, uveregel rishon ya'avor aleihem. Ah, so by the Karm Pesach. So if you don't bring it over by the 14th, so that's it. You are in violation. Now, I think what Rashi means is that you're in violation about ta'acher. Meaning, what Rashi's understanding is that Karm Pesach is in fact a subject and eligible to Bal Te'achar, but not like other Karbanos. By other Karbanos, you have three yantavs, according to Rabbi Shimon, possibility of four or five yamim tovim. But in other words, but you have multiple yantavs to violate Bal Te'achar. The way I think Rashi is presenting it is that by Karm Pesach, there also is Bal Te'achar, it's just unusual. Meaning, if you don't bring on the 14th day of Nisan, that's it, you're in violation. So, and it's interesting because Rashi describes that as being a yantav, meaning even though it's not technically yantav yet, it's the day before yantav. Okay. Anyway, so in the Havamina of the Gemara says, I might have thought the Shlamim is the same thing. In that, by the Karmen Shlamim Habay Machmas Pesach. So in that regard, maybe it still retains the identity of the Karmen Pesach. In that, by this Shlamim, if I don't bring it by the first yantav, so then one is in violation of Bal Te'achar. That's the Havamina. So Kamash Malan, the Kamash Malan is coming to teach me that no, that once the Karm Pesach converts into a Shlamim, it is a full conversion, taking on the full identity of a Karm Shlamim. Which means that according to Rabbi Shimon, you have three Yamim Tovim in order to violate Bal Te'achar. Okay. Minahanimili. Okay, and now, Hayamud Beis, we're on the very top line of Hayamud Beis. And so now for the remainder of today's daf, going into tomorrow's daf, so now we're going to have a formal discussion about Te'acher. Okay, so we touched on it as it related to our Mishnah, because our Mishnah alluded to it. But now here we are. And so Tana Rabban, the Gemara is now going to quote a Braisa, and give us the really basics regarding Baal Teachra. Now, in the beginning of Shir today, so I quoted the Pasuk in Parshas Kiseitse, Perich Chav Gimel Pasuk Chav Beis, and so the Gemara now is going to be doing its classic work, quoting a Braisa, and the Braisa is going to dissect the Pasuk, phrase by phrase, and extract all the halachas that are learned out from the Pasuk. So Tana Rabbanim, we learned on a Braisa, Kisidor Neder, so Ainli Ela Neder Nedav Aminayin. So the first technical question, how do I know that a Nedava is subject to Baal Teachra? Basic difference between Neder and Nedava. Neder Alai, Nedava is Zu. If you understood that, great. If not, well, on another occasion, we'll do it better. So Nemer Kan Neder, Nemer Lahalan Neder, Im Neder, Im Nedava. Ma Lahalan Nedava Imo, Af Kan Nedava Imo. Okay, so we have a Mematzino. In other words, other places in the Torah, Neder and Nedava are grouped together. So even though in the Pasuk of Baal Teachra, it only said Neder, but it includes Nedava as well. Good. La Hashem Elokecha. So it says to our Kaddish Baruch Hu, Eilo Adamim Harachim V'Acharamim V'Akdeshos. So those are all different types of donations that one makes to the base of Mikdash. Again, different types of vehicles that one makes. But still, that's all La Hashem Elokecha. And it makes sense. La Hashem Elokecha means it goes exclusively to Kaddish Baruch Hu. Good. So that's all those donations. Lo Sa'acher L'Shamo. Next phrase of the Pasuk. Hu V'lo Chilufav. So don't delay it. Meaning, what's subject to Baal Teachra? Only the original carbon. But if you have chilufin, if you have an exchange, so that's not going to be subject to Baal Teachra. We will explain that momentarily. Ki daroshi jeshrenu elu chatos v'ashamos olos v'shlamim. Kadosh Baruch Hu demands it from you. What is the Kadosh Baruch Hu demanding from you? That's a carbon. Chatos v'ashamim olos v'shlamim. Meaning, those are carbonas where Kadosh Baruch Hu is expecting them. Good. Hashem elokecha elu stakos v'masos v'bechor. When it says Hashem Elokecha, so as Rashi points out over here, Hashem Elokecha is superfluous. So from that, we're going to learn out that there's going to be a Baal Teachra by Tzedaka and Meiser over here, right? In the Braisa that we saw yesterday, Meiser meant both Meiser Dagan and Meiser Behema, okay? And also Bechor, okay? All these are going to be subject to Baal Teachra. Me'imach, Zuleket, Shechacha, Upeya. And from you is a reference to Leket, Shechacha, Upeya, which is also going to be subject to Baal Teachra, right? I alluded to, and I'm going to allude it to again, go back to Tosus in yesterday's Daf Dalam and Base, the top Tosus over there, who has a basic discussion in terms of how can one possibly be in violation of Baal Teachra when it comes to Leket, Shechacha, Upeya. Those are gifts that you give to the poor people, and by gifts giving to the poor people, you don't give it to the poor people, you leave it for the poor people, they come and take it. So how are you in violation of Baal Teachra? Okay, I didn't mention this yesterday, but I'll mention it today. So as a quick summary of Tosos yesterday, so he says that the Torah is describing the following scenario. So you left it for the poor, no poor came and took it. Okay? And so now what are you supposed to do? So right when you have Leket Shechacha Upeya, no ani came and took it, what do? So actually what you do is you collect it and you assign it for the poor people, meaning that you now have the responsibility of collecting it for the poor and then distributing it to the poor. So Tosa says, once that happens, so now you're on the clock. So now you have Gimel Regalim in terms of distribution. That's Tosa from yesterday. V'haya b'chachet, v'lo b'karban chachet. Now, if you violate Baal Teachra, so that's on you, and not on your carbon. Meaning, you violate the Isser, the carbon still is kosher. Amar Mar, much to discuss over here in the Braisa that we just quoted. And so now, this is it, classic Gemara. In which what we're going to do now is we're going to go through each part of the Braisa, meaning the Braisa dissected the Pasuk, and we're going to now dissect the Braisa. So, Amar Mar Lo Se'achel Shamo, Hu V'lo Chilufav. Chilufav Mai. So the Gemara over here says that the Iser Baal Teachra is going only on the original carbon, but not on any exchange. Or as I say, my worst pun, but I can't get enough of it, the carbon copy. So so for any exchange carbon, so there's not going to be an Iser Baal Teachra. So the Gemara says, what are we talking about? Well, the Gemara says, I don't understand. If we're talking about an exchange of an Ola or a Shlamim, so you're going to bring the exchange. Now, exchange over here can come in a number of different ways. We could be talking about Temura over here, which the Torah tells you not to do, but you did it. We can even be talking about a lawful exchange. What's a lawful exchange? Let's say your carbon becomes a Balmum. What you can now do is that you not only can, but you're supposed to do, is take the carbon and redeem the carbon. Now, what you can do is you can redeem the carbon and take its kedusha and move it to another animal. So the second animal now is exchanged for the first, which became a balmum. Okay. So the Gemara says, but all said and done, why wouldn't it be under the violation of Baal Te'acher? Meaning you're expected now to offer the carbon, it should be subject to the Baal Te'acher. And I chilufei chatas lemisa. And if we're talking about an exchange for a carbon chatas, meaning tamuris chatas, so we all know what happens to tamuris chatas, it's left to die. Azla. Elamai chilufav chilufei toda. So the Gemara says it's talking about chilufei toda, didni rebi chia. Okay, so we saw this before. Toda shenesarva betmura sa umesa achas mehem chaver tein la takana. So it's an unusual halacha. You have a carbon toda. You made a tamura of it. The two of them get mixed together. So now one of them dies. So there is no solution. Okay, this is all going to be a technical point. We'll run through it quickly, but it is technical. The complexity over here is predicated on the fact that by a carbon toda, it requires 40 loaves of bread. The 40 loaves of bread have to be brought and can only be brought with the original carbon toda and not with its exchange. Okay, that's the halacha. Okay, that's a starting point. Now, I have a carbon toda with its tamura. You shouldn't have done it, but you did it. And they got mixed up together, and now what do I do? So if I have the two of them there, so I'll bring one set of 40 loaves, and I'll attach it. Which one do I attach it to? Doesn't matter. Meaning, the original is there. I don't know which one's the original, but it's there. And you'll simply make it tonight, every time you're shechting the carbon. Okay, good. But let's say, same scenario, I made it tomorrow, I shouldn't have done that. The two animals get mixed together. Good. And now one of them die. Okay, so now, just on technicality, so now you're stuck. So, and the Gemara just takes us through this. So what am I going to do now? Offer this carbon? I don't know if this carbon was the original or the tamura. So So it could be that it's a tamura. Likrava below lechem. So what am I going to do now? I'm going to offer it without the lechem. So dilma todahi. Yeah, but maybe it's a carbon toda which demands lechem. So the Gemara says, okay, so I can't offer this as a carbon, and therefore it's not subject to Baal Te'acher. I don't need a drasha. Meaning, just based on the halachic reality that was presented to us, so we now ended up in a halachic dead end, but that has nothing to do with a pasuk and a drasha. That's just simply because of the, once you know the halacha, the logical conclusion that results from the halacha, so that's why I can't bring it. But it has nothing to do with the pasuk, and I don't need a drasha. So Amar Rav Sheshet, it's olam lomut echilufei olav ishlamim, v'achabem ha'iskin, and so the Gemara says, okay, let's go back to what we originally suggested. We didn't like it, but now we're going to resuscitate. And that is that I had an ola, I had a shlamim, and I made a chiluf, and I made an exchange. And the Gemara says, and previously we didn't like it because, of course, you're subject to Baal Te'acher. If I exchange it for another carbon, you got to bring it within a certain period of time. So the Gemara says, kegon she'avar alav shnei regalim v'humam, v'chilu ala acher, v'avar alav regal achad. So the Gemara says, good. So let's now go over the following scenario. So let's say you pledge to bring a carbon and you were makdish the carbon. The first yontif passes, you're good. Second yontif passes, you're still good. Okay. Right. You got one more yontif to go. Now, between yontifs 2 and 3, the animal became a bamum, a blemished animal. And now what do you do is that you're going to exchange it to another animal, transfer its kedusha to another animal. When you transfer the kedusha to the other animal, so what happens now to your Baal Te'acher clock? Good. So are you hitting now a reset button? Or is this just Hamshacha? So good, and this is classic Lamdus, and it's right here in the Gemara. So in terms of what happens now when I'm transferring the Kedusha from one animal to another animal. And by the way, in this scenario, it's lawful transfer of Kedusha, right? It became a Balmum. This is what you're supposed to do. Transfer the Kedusha to another animal. And when you do so now what happens? Are we hitting a reset, or is this a hamshacha? So the Gemara says over here, the havamina would be that this is a hemshech. It's just a continuation. That's the havamina. And kamash malan, and the Torah is coming to teach me, yeah, but here's the maskana. Maskana is, it's not a hemshech. It's a reset. This transfer of kedusha now is panim chadashos. It's a totally new reset of the kedusha. And now we reset the Baal Te'acher clock.
Okay. So is that though, has the guy made another neder there?
You're right. It's not a new neder. Still the same neder, but vis-a-vis Baal Te'acher, Reset.
That triggers the timing. It's not the animal.
Okay, good. You like the Havamina. I also like the Havamina. Okay.
What's the source for this?
That's the Drasha. I wish I could say a little bit better, but that's the point of the Gemara. That's the point of the Drasha. Meaning, intuitively, the Gemara says you would have thought, like you and I did, that it's a Hamshacha. That's the intuition. And the Torah is coming to tell me, good, but that's not correct. Okay. Let's do one more round. So the Gemara says, good. So this discussion was a fantastic discussion, but it works really well when you have three yantifs to work with. According to Rav Meir, you don't have three yantifs to work with. You only have one yantif to work with. So now, according to Rav Meir, so now what? Meaning, how do we have a scenario where I'm transferring the Kedusha and I'm asking the question, do I hit the reset or do I not hit the reset? According to Rav Meir, there's only one yantif to work with. What reset button is there to hit? So Amarava, So the Gemara says, even according to Rav Meir, it still works. Let's say it becomes a bamum during yantif. And now v'chile lo. Good. So now what you do is you transfer the kedusha to another animal. V'avra lo v'regel. And now the entire regel now has come and gone. So sakadat chamina ho mikoch kamakasi kamand avra lo v'kule regel dame. So now again, according to a mayor, same havamina, same askana. I might have thought that this is a hamshacha, meaning it's a new animal, but the kedusha that I received was from a previous animal, which is now in jeopardy of violating Baal Te'acher. As once this yantif comes and goes, so you're violating Baal Te'acher. I might have thought now with this transferred kedusha to this new animal, okay, but it's still working on the same clock. So kamash malan. So the chiddush is, no. Chiddush is that you have another yantif. Okay, we're hitting the reset button, you have another yantif. So even according to Rameir, it's going to work out. Okay. I could see in both directions, but good. The Gemara takes us to what we thought. The Gemara takes us to where we conclude. Gemara is very clear in terms of its conclusion. This is a good place to stop, and let's quickly wrap up and recap our daf today. Okay, we finished off from yesterday, and the first half of today's daf was really a discussion in Tashlumim, that you have makeup days. You bring your Karban Chagiga and your Olas Riya and Shalmei Simcha on the first day of Yontif, but failure to do so, so you haven't lost the mitzvah, you have the balance of Yontif. For Sukkot, that's 8 days. For Pesach, it's 7 days. And for Shavuos, it's 7 days as well. Yeah, you have 7 days of Tashlumen. So how do we get there? So there are two avenues to go down in terms of how we know that there's Tashlumen for Shavuos. And that's what we cover in the first part of today's daf. The two different pathways in terms of how I know that there are 7 days of Tashlumen. Either it's because of the bundling of psukim that occur in Parshas Re'eh, or it's predicated on how we count Torah Shavuos. One of those two pathways. The Gemara then took us quickly through back to the Brisa on Dalam and Aleph, including Baal Te'acher's Karban Pesach, and that's a head scratcher. How can there be Baal Te'acher by Karban Pesach? If you don't bring on the 14th day of Nisan, you lost your opportunity. So what does that mean? It's subject to Baal Te'acher. So the Gemara gave two pshatim in terms of how that works. And then finally, as we turn to the top of the Hayamud Beis in terms of our Chazara, so the rest of today's daf is that we darshan the Pasuk in Parshas Ki Seitze. Perich of Gimel, Pasuk of Beis, the Torah describing the Yisra Baal Te'acher. So the Braisa did what it classically does. Took apart the Pasuk phrase by phrase, teased out, darshaned out all the halachas that come from it. And then for the remainder of today's daf, we focused on a couple of points made in the Braisa. Two points that we focused on today on the Braisa. Number one, it says that if you make an exchange, that's not going to be subject to Baal Te'acher. And the Gemara struggled in terms of why not? Meaning if I made an exchange, it should be subject to Baal Te'acher. What was the Braisa saying when the Braisa says that by the Chiluf there is no Baal Te'acher? Good. So that's that was our question. And the Gemara gave a couple of answers. But the Gemara's preferred answer is that we're talking about a case where the animal already experienced two yamim tovim, then became a bamum, then you were mechal to another animal, and the chiddush is that new animal hit the reset clock in terms of Baal Te'acher. Good. That is good. And I'm sorry, that's really all we did this morning in terms of the Yamud Beis. And then we just did the same thing for Rabbi Meir. Even though for a Meir he only has one yantiv, but we ended up doing the same thing. that we could, even according to Reb Meir, we could still have the same Hava Minamaskana.